Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture is a repeat of a message that was in Matthew. And a friend of mine told me, anytime a scripture is repeated in the Bible, it's worth paying it special attention to. Now, just before the scene that we're about to talk about in our scripture takes place, Jesus has been preaching and healing on the shores of a lake, and the crowd is coming down and pressing down on him, keeps coming down on him, and he keeps working with these people. But finally, near the end of the day, he takes a boat with his disciples to go to the other side of the lake to sort of escape the people. Even so, boats followed him. So listen to the message in Mark 4, 35 through 41. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked this wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. You see me moving about a little gingerly today. I took Xenon to the dog park in North Park yesterday afternoon from about 6:30 to 8. And dogs just run around kind of wildly. And I'm standing there talking to a couple that thought I had done the wedding for them. And all of a sudden, a Great Dane and two other dogs just exploded into me and knocked me to the ground and tumbled me around. So, very unusual. You just never know. A woman named Karen tells about her 3-year-old daughter Abby, who was having trouble sleeping through the night. She kept waking up because she was afraid. Each time Karen tucked her into the bed again, and she would remind her that Jesus was with her and would keep her safe through the night, and she had nothing to worry about. Well, the sleepless nights, of course, continued, with Abby seeking comfort in her parents' bedroom, wanting to sleep with them. And finally one night, Karen asked her daughter if she had prayed to Jesus to take her fears away and to help her fall asleep. She said, "Oh yes, Mom, I did that, and Jesus told me to come get you." Smart little girl. And our lesson today that Bill so eloquently read, the disciples are worried. A storm has come up, and if you've ever been on a lake or in an ocean, when a storm comes up, it can be a very frightening experience. And Jesus is back in the boat, in the back end, asleep, sleeping like a baby. No fear, no cares in the world. But the disciples are afraid. And they're fishermen. So this must have been a pretty bad storm. The water's coming into the boat and the waves are getting high and the winds are picking up. So they go wake Jesus up. Said, "You know, aren't you worried that something is going to happen to us and we're going to drown?" And Jesus gets up and he speaks to the wind and to the waves and tells them to calm down. And at the same time, he's really telling the disciples, the apostles, "You calm down too." And he asks them, "Why are you so afraid?" And I think God asks us through the scriptures And I ask each one of us, including myself this morning, why are we so afraid? What in life has us so afraid that we're scared at times to go on, to push forward? But this narrative passage shows me the disciples in all their humanness, they didn't know how to take Jesus. They say, "Who is this?" They ask. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Before we deal with the question the disciples asked, we need to deal with the question Jesus asked them. Why are you so afraid? That is a question I can ask myself, and you can ask yourself. Now, what gets me about this passage, they were scared or they were afraid of the wind and the waves. But do you notice it says they were terrified? They were terrified when Jesus calmed the wind and the waves. Isn't that something? The storm could drown them, but they are terrified when Jesus takes command over the elements. Never thought of that, did you? Afraid and terrified. There's a difference in being afraid and terrified. Now, fear, I think, is at the heart of most of the problems that human beings have. I don't know that we recognize that or pay attention to it, but the opposite of faith is not doubt. That's what most of us think. But the opposite of faith actually is fear. Think about it for a moment and try to tell me any problem in the human heart that is not based in fear. Reverend John Walton tells about a commercial that had been shown a few years back. There's a car accident, and some woman's car is up on its side, and she's trapped inside of her car. She can't move, and she's frightened. She's in shock. And three young black kids run over to the car. And you know what they're going to do. They're going to reach into that car and they're going to take her pocketbook and her cell phone, any CDs, anything that they can get, and then they're going to run away just as fast as they can. But no, that's not what this is about. One of the kids starts to help her, giving her instructions on what to do, and then the other two kids run for help. It's a Shell gasoline commercial promoting safety instruction manuals on how to help someone in the event of an accident. And he says, "And I thought," says Walton, "it was another one of those portrayals of urban crime. You know, somebody's always out to get me. Can't trust anybody." And he says, "What does that tell you about me?" Sometimes the greatest danger to us is not what is out there in the world that could possibly get us and probably won't, but what is in our heart that we don't get away from that gets us every day. At the heart of bigotry, at the heart of every negative emotion in our life is fear. Fear of people who are not the same as we are. Fear about our own self-worth. Fear of our ability to cope with life. Fear concerning the future and all the areas of life that we have no control over. We are fearful of these things. At the heart of worry, resentment, hatred, guilt, and almost every negative emotion, the emotions that eat at our well-being and our peace of mind, is fear. And so often our fears are out of proportion to reality of what is really going on. I may have told this in church, I know I've told it like in Sunday school. Remember when the movie Jaws came out? Still one of the scariest movies of all time. I was living at Myrtle Beach. I went to the movies the night it came out. It was, you know, plastered everywhere. Everybody was talking about it at the beach. So I went to see it at the late showing. I don't remember the exact time. It may have been 12 at night. I don't know, 10 o'clock, whatever. Man, was that movie scary. Especially when you're living at the beach and you're going swimming almost every day. I wasn't even working at that time, living on the third row and the end was my backyard. I was kind of working, but not really. I saw that movie and I came out. Whew, and I thought, am I ever going swimming again? So I went home, changed into my bathing suit, and I went swimming for 2 hours, far out as I could go. Because I didn't want to be confronted with fear, and I didn't want to put time in between that fear, so I went straight into the water. Straight into the water. Same thing I did when I was in my motorcycle accident to kill the two deer. The day my motorcycle was fixed, I got on it and I rode. And I rode for hours because I did not want to fear hitting deer or being in a motorcycle wreck because I enjoyed the experience of riding my motorcycle. You cannot let fear rule your life. And someone once said, and I truly believe this, you scream the same when you're in the water at the beach, whether a great white shark comes up to you or whether some seaweed touches your ankle. You know it's true. It's true of most of us, even if we're not aware of it. Deep down, we have a tendency to turn molehills into mountains when we should be doing just the opposite. Primarily because deep down, we allow fear to rule our lives. Most of the problems we have are caused by fear. It may be the fear of someone that's going to take advantage of us. It may be fear of failure. It may be fear of looking foolish, fear that we won't fit in, fear that we'll be abandoned. My father, just a few weeks ago, his air conditioner was broken in his car, and he took it to a mechanic. He was fearful this mechanic was going to take advantage of him, and the mechanic told my father, "You have a leak." But he didn't want to believe him. He thought he was going to taking advantage of him, so he had him put the coolant in the system, cost him $80. Well, it lasted him all day long. Still broken. So now he's got to go back, found out through my sister, it's the compressor in the car. We could have saved that $80 and started having the car repaired properly, but he was so afraid he was going to be taking advantage of. Few people aren't driven by some type of fear in their lives. And Jesus says to us, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And the way to conquer fear is through faith. Faith is the only true antidote I know of for fear. Writer Gwendolyn Diaz tells about going on a trip with her family one summer. They loaded up the van and they headed north to visit friends and relatives. And they stopped one day in Boone, North Carolina on the way back to do some sightseeing. And Gwendolyn says she'll never forget the afternoon they spent on Grandfather Mountain. If you've never been, it's a nice trip. And the highest peak in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And they were dared to go across the swing bridge there. If you ever looked at a swing bridge going through the mountains, it's kind of scary just to see that thing, and it looks all rickety. Stand on that and look down, and just looks like, oh, especially if you have any vertigo or anything. It was late afternoon. They arrived at the bridge, and a storm was blowing in. The wind was beginning to gust significantly, and Gwendolyn looked down at that long drop, and she clutched her baby Jonathan close to her breast and refused to set foot on that bridge. Her older son, Zach and Matt, though, took off running across that bridge. Then the gust of wind just really came up hard, but they were just laughing, having a good time, and they kept on going, and they made it across the bridge. But the little three-year-old Ben, he had started running across, and he got scared when that gust of wind came up, and he grabbed a hold of one of the posts and refused to move. And his dad, like, oh, what am I going to do? Now I got to go out there. So he goes out to rescue. And he reaches out and he grabs Ben's hand. He said, come on, Ben, I've got you. Let's go. I'll take care of you. And it was obvious that all kinds of things were swirling around in Ben's mind. Do I take his hand? Do I want to go? Do I trust Dad? That's a long bridge. I'm looking down. I mean, you can imagine, three-year-old kid. But suddenly, when he reached up and he grabbed his dad's hand, he began to trust. Not did he just walk across the bridge, he started skipping across that swing bridge. Because he decided to put his faith in his daddy. His daddy would take care of him. Transferred all of the what ifs, all the fear, all the worry, he transferred that over to his daddy. Complete responsibility to Dad. I think that's what God wants us to do. Maybe it's what Jesus meant when he said, unless you change and become like a little child, you'll never receive the kingdom of God. You'll never understand unless you take faith like a little child. But we grow up and we learn things. Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. We become so cautious sometimes. If we could live like most of the things that keep us awake at night with faith would simply disappear. Faith or fear is the biggest problem in our lives, and the best way to conquer fear is with faith. But not just any faith. The only kind of faith that really matters is faith in Jesus Christ. Who is this? Asked the disciples about Jesus. Even the wind and the waves obey him. And suddenly they realized there was something different about this Jesus. He could calm the storms. And you, a lot of you right now, have storms raging in your lives. And Jesus can help calm those storms in your lives if you will allow him to do it. In one of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, there's a touching story about a young man, a veteran, ready to marry and settle down. But the young man had a problem directly caused by fear. He couldn't hold down a job. He was a stutterer. And it impacted his life. But he read about a company in Plant City, Florida, who was looking for a route driver, and the man who owned the company was a former stutterer. He had trained himself and he'd gotten over to most of it. And he figured, this guy will hire me because he is a stutterer, or at least a former stutterer. In the interview, he went in and talked about the job. And he said, you know, he asked him why he wanted a job, and he stuttered and said, because I need the money. For a long time, Mr. Miller didn't say anything. Then finally, he looked him straight in the eye and said, young man, I'm not going to give you the job. The young man was dumbfounded. He said, don't get me wrong. I think you'd do well. I just don't have an opening right now for you. Then reached in the desk drawer and he pulled out a piece of paper, worn and tattered, and he said, I'd like for you to take this home and read it every night for a month. Hardly hearing Mr. Miller's words and just numbly took the piece of paper, stuck it in his pocket, and tears were beginning to burn his eyes. Another failure, another disappointment, another fear. Turned his head away and he said goodbye and he slumped dejectedly out of the office. At night he felt totally dejected. Who wants a stutterer around? He thought to himself, nobody. As long as he stuttered, he would be a nobody. He had lived with this pain all of his life, and he just didn't feel like he could take it anymore. After the interview, Mr. Miller, he was prepared to never utter another sound, just never even talk, just to withdraw completely. He took out that piece of paper, ready just to tear it to shreds and throw it in the garbage. But something made him look at it. It was a well-known prayer written by a theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr. It read like this: God, Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's the first part of the prayer, but that's what everybody knows. He read the words again, then again, and it was like a light at the end of the tunnel came on for him. And he pondered the first phrase, accept the things I cannot change. He said, the stuttering, I may never be able to change that, so I need to accept it and work with it. Then read the second phrase, courage to change the things I can. So what was he able to change? Well, maybe I can change the fear in my life about the stuttering. Fear that I'll never be anybody. Fear of thinking bigger and trying to do better. Then he came to the third phrase, which is actually the first part of it. God grant me the serenity. Here he knew was the actual key to the whole prayer, when he wondered was the last time he actually had reached out to God and began to really trust God. Years early when he was a kid, he knew he'd prayed and asked God to help him, but every morning he woke up and he still stuttered, so he thought God had forgotten about him and God didn't care. And he felt better after praying this prayer. And he went to bed that night with a very peaceful sleep for the first time in a long time. But though serenity came that night, it didn't hang around all the time. Things started going back to normal. Change didn't come overnight either. But he kept reciting that prayer every day, reminding himself of the words till he finally can place himself in God's hands and trust without fear of what might happen to him. One thing he had learned as a young boy in church is that when he sang, he could sing without stuttering. Something happens to the voice and the air and the diaphragm there. So armed with some of the songs that he had written, he went to Nashville in hopes of getting someone to listen to his music. And he met up with Minnie Pearl. Some of you know Minnie Pearl with the hat with the price tag hanging down on it. He was scared as he went to the studio and he kept praying, your serenity, Lord, your serenity. And the audition went well with Minnie Pearl and she invited him to be a backup singer, which he did, but that's not what he really wanted to do. He wanted to be his own man. Then in 1970, singer Glenn Campbell invited him to come on his television show. As they rehearsed for the show, Glenn Campbell realized what a good sense of humor he had, and they would go back and forth in practice, and with him stuttering and Glenn Campbell working off of that, and Campbell wanted him to start talking and singing on the show. But he didn't want to do it. Get on national TV and stutter? Why would he put himself in that type of situation? But he called his wife. And she simply said, do not be afraid. And then he realized that's what it was all about. It was simply fear that was holding him back. Afraid. That's what it was. Then he hung up the phone. His mind went back to that scrap of paper. God grant me the serenity. Some of you know that this is the true story of country music superstar Mel Tillis. He will tell you that without his faith in God, he would have been defeated a long time ago. Defeated not by the forces on the outside, not even defeated by his stuttering, but defeated by the fears that were overwhelming him in his life. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Why are you so afraid? Jesus asked the disciples. He asked the same question of us. Are you letting your fear keep you from being all that God has asked and called you to be in this life? Fear is the biggest problem in most people's lives. And the best way to conquer your fear is with your faith in God, your faith in Jesus Christ. But not just any faith, not faith in money, not faith in your family, not faith in yourself, not faith in this country, not faith in our military, but faith in Jesus Christ. Who is this? Asked the disciples about Jesus. Even the waves and the wind obey him. And yes, they do. This entire universe obeys the voice of Almighty God. And nothing can stop the person who places their faith in the Almighty God, the Creator and the Sustainer of all life. May God bless you. Amen.